Hi, this is Giovanni. You've heard me on the radio for years, and now I want to invite you to listen to my new podcast on the iHeartRadio app. It's called The Art of Improvement. You can download it on the iHeartRadio app. We talk about entrepreneurship, improving your life, your career, and believing in yourself. One of my favorite quotes is from gold medalist Michael Phelps. There will be obstacles, there will be doubters, there will be mistakes, but with hard work, there are no limits. It's called The Art of Improvement. Download it now by Giovanni Murata.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pag Show.
This is the Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more right there. It's the Joe Pags Show. Coming your way on a Monday. Oh, yeah. That's a Motown Monday. That is Kerry Lockie, my news anchor. Everyone's buddy. How you doing, Kerry?
I'm fine. How are you?
You making it happen or what?
Of course.
Good weekend?
Yeah, very good. Very short.
You get her done on the weekend? Did you get her done?
I sure did.
How much wine do you think you consumed over the weekend?
Not very much at all.
You thought about saying
no. Not that it's any of your business,
it kind of is when you start.
No, not really.
You start drunk Facebooking. It is my business.
I do not do that. No.
I like to argue that a little bit.
No, please do, it's not the case.
Yeah, I'm just going to put it right out there. Yeah, I'm just going to say that. So, listen, glad to have you here. Glad to have you along for the ride. There's a lot to get to. We're going to have Sean Spicer on the program today. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that guy. The first press secretary for President Donald Trump. He's got a new book out. It's actually not out till tomorrow. Kerry, we get him before the book even comes out.
Very nice. Okay, looking forward to
that. We're not playing around. Last week we had Judge Jeanine on the day of. Today we'll have Sean Spicer.
Cool.
We'll also have Doug Adler from Raymond James and Associates. We're going to talk about your financial status in the country. I mean, the economy looks like it's going great. Is it really? Is it the right time to get into the stock market? Who knows? I mean, he knows. I don't know. So we'll do that, too. We've got a lot going on. Will the president start World War III with Iran now? Because every day he's starting World War III, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. So we keep hearing.
And if you're on the left, that's what you think. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about, is he going to get rid of the security clearance? Did you know that all these people still had security clearance?
I did not. I wasn't aware of it.
John Brennan, James Comey.
Mm-hmm. Susan
James
Rice.
Clapper, the Clapper. Yeah, Susan Rice still has security clearance. Mm-hmm. After she lied about what happened in Benghazi, she still has security clearance. So do these people keep it for the rest of their lives? I mean, how does that even work?
Well, I think that's what I heard today. I think they do.
I mean,
even though they're not part of the current administration.
Right. Why do you get to keep it? I don't get it.
I don't know why. They still have it.
Doesn't make any sense to me. So there you go. We've got that for you, too. But I've got to start. It's a big day. It's a big day. Kerry, it's a big day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We've got five daughters. Three of them, of course, natural born to us. We've adopted two. Well, adopted one, and we're on the way to adopting the second. And the youngest of our natural born children is 18. She's a freaking adult today. How did that happen?
Wow. It goes by so fast, doesn't it? 18.
So Gabby, our Gabby, you've heard her sing on the show. You've seen us do Facebook Lives with us singing. She also, a couple of years ago, of course, we had the big thing where everybody, you know, jumped in and helped us out when she was in dire need. And she's an adult. Now, here's what happened yesterday. She said, I'm going to go to court and have my birthday changed. I don't want to be 18.
Oh, she doesn't.
That legitimately happened. Now, here's the child since she was born, couldn't wait to be an adult.
And now
it was about to happen, she's like, nope, I'm going to go back to 16.
Oh.
It's not happening.
Okay.
But I'll tell you this. The 18 years, and I alluded to this on Facebook. I didn't do it on my Facebook page. I did it on my personal Facebook. I got to tell you, moms, dads, if you got a new baby, and Kerry, you could probably attest to this too, although you don't have an 18-year-old yet, but you blink your eyes, and she's 18.
Oh, man, I know.
I don't even get it. I mean, first of all, your son's like 6'8", and he's like, what is he, 12?
He's 14.
He can just stop it now, can't he?
Yes, please.
But I mean, isn't it something? You blink your eyes.
It's true. It goes so fast. And it seems so corny to say it, but it really happens that way. It does.
Oh, no, I'm not being that guy. I'm not being some old guy just reminiscing. I'm telling you, you blink your eyes and 18 years go by.
Yep.
But I want to make sure that people understand this. Love my children entire. Love Gabby so much, Gabriella. And she's been an absolute joy. She is talented and beautiful and has an incredible future ahead of her. And I'm just proud to be her dad. So happy birthday, Gabby. I love you very much, and sorry, you can't stop the hands of time. At the last moment, she'd been wanting to be 30, I think, since she was like 12. Hmm. The last moment, she's like, I am not going to be an adult. It's not going to happen. And what's funny is,
I have to go back
at midnight, I walked into her bedroom, and I said, there are entirely way too many adults in this house. So, wow. Dad, stop. So, just happy birthday. It's funny because I've been in the media longer than she's been around. And when she was born, we had like the first picture ever. We put it on the TV news in Lansing.
Oh, that's so cute.
So those of you who are listening on WJIM in Lansing, Michigan, that she was born there. She was born in Lansing. You saw like her first day, her first hour of life. And now here she is 18 years later, which is kind of nuts. Hmm. I talked to Doug Adler, who I've been friends with for about 20 years now. And he was based in Lansing at the time. I don't think he is now, although I think he goes back and forth. And the whole start of the interview, when you hear that later on, is going to be about, can you believe this child is already 18? Because again, it's like, hey, just had a new baby. It feels like we just had a new baby. So,
I know.
Again, we love her. Today is her birthday day, which means it's been like the whole day has been like, you know, nonstop, the presents and the cake and the food and the thing and the music. Now, I walked in from working out, I got back to the house before getting in the car and driving back to work. And there was the loudest, most annoying rap on in my house.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I was about to light somebody up. What do you think you're doing?
Yeah.
And then I realized it's her birthday. I think I have to let this music play. I think that it wasn't like raunchy. I've heard her play some of the raunchy rap in her room. And I'm like, got that off.
Yeah.
But this was just sort of
loud.
I don't know.
Annoying.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
So, but I let it go. But I also made it clear that, yes, you're an adult, although you tried at the last minute to stop from being an adult. But you still live in my house.
There you go.
So still my rules.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
That's the way it should be.
Well, I think that she realized one thing. And again, she's amazing and wonderful. But I think, Kara, I think that she thought this was going to happen. Now, I don't know if this happened in your life. I moved out when I was 17. So I didn't expect the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure this child thought that on her 18th birthday, a bag of money would fall from the sky.
Wouldn't that be so nice?
And a brand new car and a brand new apartment. And I think that, you know, the best job ever. And
yeah.
we've gone through most of the day, or a lot of the day anyway, and that hasn't happened yet.
No big bag of money.
So I think that she gets that.
Oh.
But she's very happy. And again, love you like crazy. Mom, Dad, love you. And she's an amazing person. She's a very, very special person. So happy birthday to Gabby. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email is all right there. Make sure you stop by. We're going to talk about John Brennan. Can you see if there's anybody that I'm leaving out? It's John Brennan. It's James Clapper. It's Susan Rice. It's James Comey. These are all people that
Andrew
the president
McCabe
is trying to figure
too,
out.
I believe.
Oh, McCabe is in there too. He's the Andrew McCabe. He's the former second in charge at the FBI under Comey, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he's another one. He's trying to figure out, the president's trying to figure out, can I strip them of their security clearance? I would think that you can. They're not in the government anymore. And his issue is that they're monetizing it. They're monetizing the information they have by going on these networks or selling books and whatever else. So that's an interesting question. I wonder if those listening and watching think that he has that ability. We'll do that. Plus, the president went a little nuts on Iran. Do you know why he did that?
I know why some of the mainstream media think he did that.
Because, well, they're saying that he's trying to divert
from Russia, right.
The media has to be smart enough to realize that nobody cares about Russia. 1% in the latest poll care about Russia. 1%. So it's not a thing. And the president does do things according to polls. So there was a reason for it, and maybe he's trying to start diplomacy like he did with North Korea. But we'll talk about his back and forth, his Twitter tirade on Iran when we come back as well. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Glad to have you. It's the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Make sure you stop by. Love to have you along for the ride. I have not done it yet, but I did. I did shoulders today, Carrie.
Hmm.
And I took a short video that I'll probably Instagram.
Oh, good.
Now, Instagram, because it's owned by the same people as Facebook, I think it ends up showing up on Facebook, too. And I don't know. I guess I think I can shut that off. Should I shut that? Do you think it's a problem for people when I put those things on Facebook, too?
I don't know. Maybe not. I don't think so.
It's my freaking Facebook. I do whatever I want.
Exactly. They can watch it. They don't have to.
Who the hell are you talking to? Move on if you don't like it.
Shoulder.
By the way, we are back on live in Apple Valley in the high desert in California on Talk 960. Wanted to say thank you again to the management there for, I guess they moved us for a month or whatever to 3 hours later. Now we're back live. So California, if you missed us, definitely would love to hear from you. Shoot us an email or a Facebook message or a tweet and let me know. I guess, now I wasn't imploring people to do this, but I guess a lot of people called the station and wrote the station and said, hey, you know, and the station, I mean, seriously, you got some really smart management if they said, we're going to listen to the listeners and do what they want. That's kind of cool, isn't it?
That is very cool. Love that.
You know what a lot of them said?
What?
We need more Carrie.
Oh, I thought you were going somewhere else with that. Okay, that's good.
No, I think a lot of them said that. A lot of them were saying,
I said, yeah, needs more Carrie in this one.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Now, I'm not sure, but I think the signal of that station might get into your vacation spot.
What vacation spot? I do not have a vacation spot right now.
Where you guys went last time?
Regina.
Saskatchewan. No,
it's not
I think that it might actually make it.
Spot.
Is
no,
it not? Is
never
it not?
Been.
That, oh,
it's
I,
not.
Turns
no,
out,
no.
Turns out it is kind of far away.
No.
Turns out, yeah. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Keep in mind, Sean Spicer, the former press secretary for the president of the United States for the Trump administration, he was the first guy out. And I like to say, it's a fun conversation, Carrie, because he's still sort of falling on his sword going, yeah, I sucked at first. I had a lot of learning to do. I had, you know, there was a learning curve.
His first one.
And,
his first press briefing.
Yeah, I mean, just, yes.
It was.
And then
interesting.
Do you think I ask him about Melissa McCarthy going at him?
Oh, I'm sure you do. Yes.
Absolutely.
Like to hear
you have
that
to,
answer.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
How do you not?
Yeah.
I think
must.
You have to.
You must.
So make sure you stick around for that. We'll also have Doug Adler on from Raymond James and Associates about your money, about the economy. And it's an interesting conversation as well. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Security clearance. Listen, I'm sitting in Military City, USA. Maybe somebody can explain it to me. Carrie, were you of the same mindset that you lose it once you're out of the administration?
That
why would you
was
keep
my
it?
Thinking. I don't know why. I mean, you don't work for that administration. I don't know why you'd still have security clearance.
I can't imagine why somebody would say, "Yeah, you don't work there anymore, and you were from the opposing party. Let's just let you keep it."
Right, right.
Because they are they're writing
what
books.
Happens. Yeah.
Which there was this one dude. I can't think of his name. He used to be on Court TV back in the day, and I keep on thinking about the name Tracy for some reason pops in my head, but I don't think that's his name. This guy, I don't know, I can't think of who he is, but he's a guy, I think he was with ABC after that. Either way, he's sitting there in the press briefing today, and, well, why is the president going after their First Amendment right to speak? I'm like, what? Oh, no, he's not. He's not prosecuting them. He's not throwing them in jail. You got John Brennan out there saying the president is actually being treasonous. He's actually committing treason. He's saying high crimes and misdemeanors. He's saying impeachment. And the guy has high-level security clearance. Come on, dude. Why isn't he punishing them for what he's doing himself? He's the president. He's allowed to talk about political issues with his clearances because he's the damn president. Now, these other guys can talk about political issues all they want. Should not have their clearance. That clearance is for the job, is it not? I don't understand what leg they think they have to stand on to continue using this clearance. The president does the right thing by saying, hey, can I get rid of this clearance? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. These people are writing books, showing up on television networks, and they're bashing me, and they have the ability to see all this classified stuff still? Come on, man. Let me go to the phone lines. AJ?
Big time Motown, Joe. Well, you know,
what is happening, my brother, from another mother? What is going on?
Hey, you know how these idiots are. You know, they as the word go, don't do as I do or do as I say or whatever that goes or however it goes. That's a different
AJ, point. Did you know they still had their clearance? I had no idea.
Yes, Hillary had hers.
Come on, man.
Hillary had hers. And I don't know if she still got it or not. Have you heard anything? I haven't heard anything if she got her clearance out the box. So, you know, hey. But it's time for them to put their cut on it. It's time to cut it. It's enough.
Yep.
And then, you know, they bashing Trump now. You know, Trump keeps them off balance. And I love the way he do it. He went after Iran. Obama never did that. He sent a cargo of money over there to him to appease them. And then what about Hillary with that reset button? She in her doctor robe or nightgown or whatever that was she was wearing.
AJ, what the hell is she wearing? What is she wearing all the time? She wears like a tent now. What is that?
I try to be serious, but every time I look at that picture,
come on, man.
Laugh. Oh, I'm like, what in actually wore out.
Is it a smock? Is it a tent? Is it a Carrie, what is that? Is it a muumuu?
I've heard muumuu. I have heard muumuu.
You think it's a muumuu?
The correct term. I don't know.
No idea. I mean, it looks like it's some sort of a space suit. What the hell is she hiding under there?
I mean, and the picture they got us sitting around the ring. It's like the movie. What was that? Cuckoo for the Crazy House.
I mean, the whole thing.
Sitting around talking, right?
Dude, it's crazy. It is crazy.
But wait, this is the thing. America, big time. When are these people going to be charged? It's time. We got the evidence. We know. And now, real quick, now we know why Trump didn't do what the idiots thought he was going to do with Putin. Trump knew it all the time. He knew it all the time. So, big time hotel, why would you go out and bash an adversary like, you know, when you know it's the Democrat Party that done it? And I mean, everybody know Russia do what they do. Everybody know everybody. That's our job to do what we do, to try to camp them and do what we, you know how we go after them. But to go out there and bash Putin the way they wanted him to do, wag that finger in his face, Trump was a smart man not to do that. Now look what happened after that 400-page deal came out. Oh, my God. Stephanopoulos didn't even touch it, but he mentioned it, but he didn't touch it the rest of the show. I watched him. And then, Chris Wallace, you know, and some of them Fox News idiots getting on my nerves now. Chris Wallace, you're talking about somebody got their lunch ate. Putin ate his lunch. Chris Wallace tried to give him a doggone paper of the 12 or 13 that he gave what's his name, that Mueller gave him. Putin told him, put it on the table, brother. you didn't see that, did you?
I did not watch Chris Wallace and his back and forth with Putin. I got to be honest with you. I'm so over the whole Putin thing. Nobody cares about it. The vast majority of Americans don't care about it. The media tried to make something that didn't happen out of it. And a bunch of idiots that still have their security clearances are attacking a sitting president on it. The president needs to strip them all of their clearances. They can keep on making their money. They can keep on, you know, guessing if they want, but they should have no right. There's no reason for them to go anywhere near our top security stuff. None whatsoever.
It is treason what he's doing, and he's the first one. Oh, and I heard Harry Reid got his fingers into it because he had the letter up
front. The whole FISA thing sort of starts with Harry Reid. We did not know about that. That's for sure. AJ, got to run.
All right, Big Daddy. Love you guys.
I love you, brother. We appreciate you. AJ calls in every Monday. Last week he called twice because it was just that kind of week. Sometimes he gets so wound up, he's got to call in again. Yeah, the whole FISA thing, we'll touch on that too. What exactly is it that we found out? It looks like it was all manufactured evidence that was used to get some sort of a surveillance warrant on Carter Page. The thing was created by the agency and those connected to the agency that wanted it. That's not supposed to be how it works. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Better. New details emerge, they make the FBI look bad, and they help Donald Trump. We'll tell you what they are coming up at 8 on The Michael Berry Show.
Hey, great to have you. Wonderful radio stations all over. JoePags.com for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there. Appreciate you stopping by the Joe Pags Show for a Monday. There's a lot going on. 1 hour from now, it'll be Sean Spicer, his own self, the former press secretary for President Donald Trump. He was the first one. Didn't last an enormous amount of time. Then there was some upheaval afterwards as to who was going to take over. Nice guy. Good to talk to him. And he's a guy who laughs at himself, which I think is kind of good. If you can't laugh at yourself, you might be in trouble in his life. So it was really cool to talk to him, and it's going to be fun for you to hear the conversation, I hope. You got to go and get his new book. It's coming out tomorrow. See, that's what we do. We don't play around. We're not going to have the new book, you know, the author of the new book, you know, 2 weeks after it comes out. Going to go ahead and get him on the day of, if not before. Now, you can order it now. Are they called pre-orders? I guess. Early orders?
I guess pre-orders. I
think what they say is they could pre-order it. It just means you can buy it now. It's not out till tomorrow, but you can pre-order it now, so that's cool. The name of it is The Briefing, Politics, the Press, and the President. The Briefing, : Politics, the Press, and the President. Carrie, what's his relationship like with the president now? Do you know?
I do not know.
Mm-mm. Yeah, we find out.
Cool. Interested.
You know why? Because we're not playing around here on the Joe Pags Show.
No.
We find out.
Yes.
All right. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Carrie will have the story of the president's tweets about Iran, why that happened, why he says that happened. And I got to be honest with you. I woke up and I saw some of the ridiculousness on Twitter where it appeared as though people from the United States and from like Canada and Great Britain, places that I thought were our friends, were like siding with Rouhani, which is weird to me. How stupid must you be? I don't care how much you hate the president or you don't like his hair or how he walks or whatever. That's the president of the United States. You don't take the side of Iran over him. What's the matter with you? I was completely on our side when it came down to negotiating Iran with Iran and the United States. I was against the negotiations to begin with because they were stupid and one-sided toward Iran. But I never thought to myself, don't worry, Rouhani, you're going to get the best of Obama here. Which is kind of what we're seeing on this one. It's just nuts. So Carrie will have that story for us coming up. Let me go to the phone lines in the meantime. Say hello to line four is Scott in Kansas. Scott, what's going on?
Well, Joe, I want to start by saying, number one, I always love your show. Always informative guest.
Thank you.
And somewhere along the line, I always get a good laugh out of it. And, I appreciate it.
Cool, thank you.
The whole thing about the security clearance, I had a top secret clearance in the military several years ago, and I was in communications. And the thing is, there's always a need to know that's connected with the clearance. Meaning, if you don't have a need to know, you shouldn't have the clearance. And if they're no longer in the government service, if they're in private industry now, that need to know is gone, and they shouldn't be having access to this, including Susan Rice and the rest of them. It makes no sense to me.
Well, I mean, it may be a need-to-know clearance, but when you're the CIA director, you need to know just about everything, don't you?
Well, sure, but you don't need to know it when you're not there anymore.
Then why isn't the clearance, like, stripped on your way out?
Well, if it were up to me, it would be.
Yeah, so do you still have it?
Oh, no. No. As I recall, it's good for 7 years, and then it renews automatically if you're still in the service, still in an agency where you have a need-to-know. And
okay, so Brennan and Clapper and Rice and all these people, McCabe, it'll go away in 7 years?
It should automatically expire after so much time. Plus, the people they're interacting with at these agencies shouldn't be giving them anything anyway, because, again, we go back to this, what's called inviolability, meaning it's a need to know. You can't, just because I had a top secret clearance didn't mean I could walk into another message space in the communications area or something like that and access information that was none of my business.
No, I got, and that makes perfect sense, but it's something cool that you hit on and interesting that he shouldn't be getting, or they shouldn't be getting stuff from inside the agencies. But as you know, there are still plenty of Obama holdovers who quite possibly could be giving them information. And if they've got this top security clearance, they probably wouldn't even get in trouble for doing it. So, and again, I understand the whole need to know thing, but I think that would be their legal way to weasel out of it. Here's an interesting question, because you used to have top secrets, Scott. I'm wondering, what argument do they have to not lose this clearance right now?
I can't imagine one. I really can't. I just don't think it exists. If you're in private industry, you don't need it. That's all there is to it. You don't need it. Now, they don't.
And if you're on television, talking about the job you used to do with your clearance, I think that you should probably not have it anymore.
Well, I agree. The only argument I think I could make is if for some reason I'm in some sort of private industry that has me consulting then with the CIA or the FBI. In which case,
so I mean, you would still need to have clearance. So what to be the go between?
That's correct. You still need a clearance to do that. Yes, absolutely.
Very interesting. Well, they're not doing that. They're going on MSNBC and they're tweeting about impeaching the president. I appreciate the information, Scott. Very, very interesting information. I'm not an expert on clearances, so I'm glad that somebody's filling me in. Again, I would think it only makes logical sense that you would lose that clearance the day that you pack your box and leave. You know, have a nice day on your ride down on the elevator. You should no longer have the clearance. I was kind of stunned to find out that they do. Let me go to Minnesota and Mitchell. Hi, Mitchell. What's going on?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Living the dream, man. Talk to me.
Scott kind of hit the head of what I was going to talk about. So I'm also in the military. I have a security clearance and I actually initiate some of these validations for people joining. So he was saying something about the time that goes on. As you have your security clearance and say it's up to the end of it, then you have to reapply to renew it, but it still is valid for however many years. So each level, whether it's secret, top secret, or TSFBI, they have different lengths that they're valid for. And then once you get out of the service or out of the industry, it stays valid unless you've done something wrong. And that's actually used as a bonus for when ex-service members are trying to get hired at companies. If you have that valid security clearance, they know that your background is of a good standing.
Well, I can understand as a resume piece, but I mean, the fact that he used to have it until he left the job, I think still would have looked good. Having said that, if you leave the job and you still have the clearance until it expires, do you still have the right to call somebody within the CIA and ask them top secret questions or not?
Absolutely not. And that hits back to where he was saying the need to know basis. So just because I work on a nuclear aircraft carrier doesn't mean I could go up to where the interpreters were doing their job and go access their information.
Right.
It's a complete need to know. Everybody who has this clearance knows this. We get trained on it every year. It's just that sensitivity. If you don't need to know it, you're not going to know it.
So if the president strips them of their clearances and they're fighting to not have it stripped, this is just for appearances. It doesn't really mean anything.
And that's where I don't know the legality of the president doing that or anything. But yeah, if their security clearance or they've been out of the position where their position no longer needs to know that, they shouldn't be accessing any information like that. Anybody from a junior service member point to a senior service member point, they all know that because we get the training. I'm not sure how the civilian side of the government works with it, but I could assume it would be very similar.
Well, listen, great information. I appreciate your service. Thanks a million, Mitchell. It's all very interesting, isn't it?
I know. I never knew that before.
So the fact that you have the security clearance, I mean, there was a great point made that, look, I had this top secret security clearance. Clearly, my background check went through. Like, I could say, yeah, I was approved to go to the White House, so, you know, obviously you can trust that my background is pretty damn clean. I get that angle of it, maybe for job prospects, but I wonder, if you're the go-between between private industry and the CIA, or the FBI, or whatever it is, or the NSA, I would guess that would get you bonus points and higher ability, because you used to work there, probably you still know people there, but if you can't dip into that and say, hey, give me some information on this FISA thing, or give me some information on what's going on with Russia right now. If you can't do that, I guess it would be symbolic for the president to say, screw you, you don't get to have your clearance. And it would be symbolic for somebody like Brennan to say, I want my clearance. So it's all very interesting to me. I think that we're learning something, unless these guys are just all lying to me, because that could be too. They're just making it up.
No, you know they sound pretty honest.
They do, don't they? They sound very good.
They know what they're talking about.
So pretty interesting. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Let's take a break. We come back. More people on the security clearance. And Carrie, I know that the one story, you didn't like the source. So
yeah, I got another one. I did, yeah.
Okay, we'll do that when we come back. Either when we come back or at the top of the hour. Keep in mind, it'll be Sean Spicer, bottom of hour number two. We'll have Doug Adler, bottom of hour number three. He, of course, is from Raymond James & Associates, about the stock market, the GDP, the economy, how's it really doing. We'll get those answers for you, too. Joe Pags, coming right back.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Sleep.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
You win, too slow to learn now. Things you never, never knew before. I'm only except that the same. And why 2 + 2 makes 4? Not, not, not. I'm going to teach you all about the game.
Oh, yeah, it's a Motown Monday. Glad to have you. Welcome to the program, the Joe Pag Show. 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. I want to add to the fray. Well, actually, I think that we'll probably carry this over till the top of the hour. Obviously, we're almost there. But, Carrie, if you don't mind, fill us in. Now, I don't know, because I purposely ignored social media yesterday. I don't think I did much of anything on social media. Maybe I retweeted some stuff. Didn't do much. I don't think I did much that was original, and I didn't pay much attention to Facebook either. So what exactly was it that started this, and what did the president say?
This is from Fox News. President Trump late Sunday tweeted out to Iranian President Rouhani to never threaten the U.S. again or face historic consequences. The tweet came on the heels of Rouhani's warning to Trump that hostile policies could lead to the, quote, mother of all wars with Iran. Trump called for Rouhani to stop the rhetoric or, in caps lock, suffer the consequences, the like of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. We are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious. Hours, Iranian state-owned news agency IRNA dismissed Trump's tweet, describing it as a passive reaction to Rouhani's remarks. The agency, a government mouthpiece, also said Monday that Trump's comment was only mimicking and copying Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif, who had in the past warned the West to never threaten an Iranian. Rouhani earlier warned Trump to stop playing with the lion's tail and threatening Iran, or else you will regret it. Trump earlier this year pulled the U.S. out of the international deal meant to prevent Tehran from developing a nuclear weapon in order to increase American sanctions Iran's Trump has suggested Iranian leaders are going to call me and say, let's make a deal, but Iran has rejected talks. Rouhani has previously lashed out against Trump for threatening to reimpose the sanctions, as well as for moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem and banning travel to the U.S. for certain Muslim-majority countries. Rouhani also said a peace with Tehran is like the mother of all peace. Sources told Reuters that U.S. officials have launched an effort to foment unrest in Tehran and put pressure on the country's leaders to end its nuclear program.
So there you go. So it was not something that he wasn't responding directly to, like, something that happened yesterday.
Right.
He's responding to what they constantly do.
What Rouhani was saying, yeah.
they constantly are just going at it, death to America. And Rouhani's got a problem with the travel ban?
Apparently so. Doesn't like it.
Do you know, I'm not sure what the language is there. I think it's Farsi in Iran, right?
I'm not sure.
Can you figure out how to say kiss my ass in Farsi?
I'll Google it. How about that?
If you don't mind.
Okay.
You know, I'd like to say hello to President Rouhani.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, they're chanting death to America and the blood of Israel should flow in the streets and so on and so forth. And the previous president kissed their asses. I am all for this president being the tough guy in the block. I'm all for it because it'd been so long since we'd actually flexed our muscles. It's like they started whittling away. So, Iran can kiss my ass. And those of you who got up this morning and decided that it would be intelligent to make Rouhani trend on Twitter for some reason, and it would be intelligent to make Iran trend on Twitter, and you thought it would be intelligent to have, you know, the president look like the bad guy while you've got Rouhani somehow the winner here, there's something wrong with you. And I tweeted this earlier, you need a drug test. Or you need to go live in Iran for a while. I think it's actually pretty simple, to be honest with you. I think it's actually pretty simple. It is 1-800-383-9624-JOEPAGS.com. I want to remind you about Super Beets. You know, your blood pressure is one of the keys to heart health and overall well-being. The good news is that consuming beets, a simple lifestyle change, can help support healthy blood pressure levels. Drinking Super Beets every day is the best way to get the right amount to make a difference. One teaspoon of Super Beets, for example, the recommended daily serving, is verified to provide the nitric oxide equivalent of 3 whole beets, which helps support healthy blood pressure levels. Only Super Beets is made from beets grown to exacting standards, then concentrated into superfood crystals. So if you want to have heart healthy energy, give your body what it needs to start the day every day like I do, in a protein shake and some water, you get Super Beets. Call 800-516-8389, 1-800-516-8389, or go to joelovesbeets.com. Find out how to get a free 30-day supply, he said, indicator strips, to see how it's working for you, and free shipping, too, with your first purchase. Get that, the Super Beets today, 800-516-8389, or joelovesbeets.com. Make it happen. We go to the phone lines in the time we have remaining this hour. Let me say hello and welcome to Line 5 is James in San Antonio. James, what's going on?
Hey, it's your buddy, man. How you doing?
Doing well, James. Talk to me. Do you have a clearance?
I do. I'm going to try to break it down as fast as I can. I know you're up on a break.
Okay.
At least from a DOD stance, I was in the Army. I got my clearance, and I only had just a regular secret clearance, and that's good for 10 years. Now, had I left the Army after my first enlistment of 4 years, I would have still had that clearance. It still would have been in the system somewhere. But like your previous caller said, the whole need to know and then just having access to classified information and classified systems, that's a whole nother ballgame because, like he said, I have a secret clearance, but I can't just walk into anywhere I want to and say, I want access to anything that's labeled classified, any documents, any media that's labeled classified. First of all, I have to be allowed access into that area. And second of all, I have to have the need to know to access that information. Now, the only reason why I think that these guys are able to keep their clearances is because, like the previous caller also said, is that somehow they set up some type of consulting contract with the government that allows them to keep their clearance in good standing.
Okay. So now let me ask you this, James, as I asked the previous guy, let's say somebody who's at a high level in these departments still, can they call a John Brennan or an Andrew McCabe and say, hey, I think you need to know this? And then because they've got the security clearance, they can get it?
No, because they have to be read on for that information. Read on just basically means that they have to be brought in to say, we are allowing you access to this information. Yes, you have the clearance, but we are allowing you to have access to this information because now you have the need to know. So if anybody was doing that, they have also broken the law in that they are giving information to someone who didn't have the need to know and haven't been read on to have access to that information.
Well, as you know, I've got to run here, and it's great information, but let me ask you one quick one. Just give me a quick answer. So is this just symbolic?
Yes.
The fact that he wants to get rid of their clearances, that would just be symbolic?
Yes, but I believe he has the authority to do so.
Okay. All right. Appreciate you, brother. Thanks, James. There you go. Well, I think we've covered that topic a lot. Your thoughts about what the president tweeted about Rouhani. Keep it here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Better. Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, Newsmax TV, the Joe Pags Show, coming your way on a Monday. Oh, come on, man. Really, Carrie? On a Monday? I don't think it's going to do it. That's not the most auspicious way to start the hour.
It's not good. Not good.
I think there's an audio thing here. There's an audio issue. If there's an audio issue, I don't think we can play the song. I mean, you want to play the song.
We have to.
But if there's no audio, then what do? You know what you do? You just jump into the program. Okay. By the way, that is Carrie Lucky. She's my news anchor and also pain in my rear end. We appreciate you stopping by today. We'll do the Motown Monday song in a minute. Just calm down. Mm-hmm. But we presented right before the hour started. Carrie gave us the story of this president, President Donald Trump, tweeting to the guy is the president of Iran, right? That's the terminology they use, president of Iran?
Yes.
I don't think it's a prime minister or a king. He's the president.
He's president. Mm-hmm.
He's also not the mullah. I mean, they're truly run by the mullahs, and it's run by the ayatollahs. But I guess this is, our media is sort of glossing over the fact that it was some sort of a, just like another typical speech or more typical comments from Rouhani or fill in the leader of Iran, who was at Ahmadinejad for a long time. They just, I mean, as part of their speech, it's like, blah, blah, God is great, death to America, blah, blah, the Jews should die. You just sort of get that constantly from the place. So nothing new really happened here. And President Donald Trump said, you know, enough of this crap. And he decided to really, like, hit back at him hard. And the interesting thing is our media here is freaking out as if he did something wrong. And the left in this country thinks they found yet another thing to complain about this president about. His tweet was, never ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. And he did it in all caps, which of course means what, Carrie?
He's yelling.
He's yelling and screaming.
Yes.
Never ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer the consequences. That's how you have to hear the tweet. You have to hear the tweet like that. But it would be more of the Donald Trump accent. Be huge and non-fantastic if you ever... So that's what he kind of did.
Got it.
The media here freaked out. It was unprovoked. It was unprecedented. But keep in mind, how long ago was it? 6, 7, 8, 9 months ago, where he was calling, you know, Kim Jong-un, Rocket Man, Little Rocket Man. You might have a button. I've got a bigger button and mine works. I mean, he was going to be fire and fury. Remember the media freak out? Basically, you should impeach Donald Trump. Impeach 45 because he said fire and fury. Mm-hmm. Remember that one?
Oh, yes.
And the next thing you know, they're meeting in Singapore, and Kim Jong-un appears to, at least he says he was going to do just about anything the president wants. Now, do I trust him? No, but something diplomatic came out of you know, harsh terms. Iran and people in that region are going to respond similarly to how North Korea responded when our president said, you're a little rocket man and we'll blow you off the map. This president now says, you better stop threatening us. It'll be worse than the world has ever seen. And they do. They respond to this. Listen, we've talked to Lieutenant Colonel Atticott how many different times, and he says the people in that region, the dictators, the fascists, the bad guys in that region, almost always respond when you show them strength. And they also respond when you show them weakness, like Obama did for 8 years. And their response was, we just got everything we wanted from the alleged greatest power on earth, and he doesn't want really anything back in return? Wow. Plus, he's sending us a bunch of money and unfreezing our assets? What a dumb move by Obama. Well, this president says, we're not going to do dumb moves like that. In fact, we're going to show you what's happening. We're going to show you what's up. We're going to show you what time it is. Carrie, is there another euphemism for that?
I think you about covered it. It's good.
We're going to show you the end of the day. We're going to bring you your comeuppance.
Yeah.
Have you ever in your life used the term comeuppance?
I don't think so.
Just did.
I don't think
you're welcome.
I've ever done it. Thank you.
You're welcome. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Quick question. Are you bothered by the president and his strong rhetoric when it comes to these rogue nations, these out-of-control dictators, these ridiculously oppressive regimes? Are you angry with him that he decided that he's gonna go there? I like that he goes there. Are you like the media? Because, again, the questions that you hear in the daily briefing, and I don't watch it that often. Carrie, there's a site that I follow, a page that I follow, that, like, puts up the briefing now. So if I'm going through my Facebook, I'll run into the briefing, and I'll stay and I'll watch for a while. And, again, I can't believe how, I don't know, just animosity-filled these things are. They're horrible.
I've seen it firsthand,
The way these people treat Sarah Sanders and the way they treated Sean Spicer before her, horrible. By the way, Sean Spicer, bottom of this hour, right here on this program. I talked to him about his brand new book, and it's out tomorrow. You can pre-order is the correct term. It's called The Briefing, Politics, the Press, and the President. We'll have Sean Spicer on bottom of the hour. We talk about his first days. We'll talk about his missteps. We'll talk about how the media keeps asking him about the size of the crowd at the inauguration. We'll talk to him about Melissa McCarthy's impersonation of him on Saturday Night Live. He didn't watch it when it happened. We actually talk about when he was informed that it happened and where he was when his phone was blowing up about the fact that it had happened. So we'll do that. We'll certainly do that. For me, it was a really cool opportunity to get to know the guy behind what we saw behind that the press briefing podium. And interestingly, he laughs at himself a lot. He's like, if I could do it over again, I would do this, that, and the other differently. But, Carrie, do you know how he even got attached to Donald Trump? How he even...
I don't know like, that. I don't know the story
the
behind
inner circle?
It. Mm-mm. But we're going to find out.
Yeah,
we'll
talk about that.
Mm-hmm,
okay. Oh, yeah, we're there.
All right.
Cool. I mean, I would tell you, but then why listen to the interview? You know what I mean?
Exactly. You got to wait. Got to wait.
So I'm going to go ahead and tell you during the interview. That'll happen in about 20 minutes from now. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Do you care about the tough talk? I want the president to do more tough talk. Tough talk on China. Tough talk on Cuba. Tough talk on Venezuela. Tough talk on North Korea. Tough talk on Iran. I mean, if there are people that are violating human rights, treating women like less than human, killing people in the streets if they don't follow their way of thinking or their religion, they should be called out. And the president does the exact right thing. And the left, because of their desire to find something wrong in everything that he says and does, their spin is, well, you're starting trouble with Rouhani for no issue. I don't know why he's doing that. This is horrible. Why is he attacking Iran? First, he pulls out of the agreement that the Obama made with Iran, and now he's attacking Iran. He wants World War III. Remember, he wanted World War III with North Korea until he, of course, averted that by coming to some sort of an agreement. Who knows if they'll stick to it? We'll see. And then he was going to start World War III with Putin, but then he met with Putin. Now he's Putin's lap puppy. And now he's starting World War III with Iran, and I'm guessing that there's probably a broader idea that he has in his mind with what he'd like to see happening in the future with Iran. This is how you start. You tell them, without a doubt, we're not messing around. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Go there. I live tweet during the show, so it's at Joe Talk Show, at Joe Talk Show. I check the Facebook messages and the like later. I will be sending out that Facebook message that I send out every day that'll tell you who the guests are, as we've got the first guest happening this morning. This the bottom of this hour, this morning. Why would I say this morning?
I don't know.
I guess I look at the top of the hour as evening, and the bottom of the hour as morning. 1-800-383-9624. Coming right back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Your kids may ignore you, but your smart speaker never will.
Alexa, play 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
Great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show, Motown Monday edition, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. The president tweeting out about Iran. I never thought that we'd get to the point to where we didn't want the president to talk harsh with somebody that keeps on saying death to America, or talk harshly. It's an adverb. Directly to somebody who's saying death to America. I don't know why, for so many generations and through so many presidents, we've had people in that Oval Office sitting there saying, that's just what they say. I mean, when you say death to America, and you break it down, Karen, I'm going to break it down, because we actually, during the Obama years, had people saying things like, that's just what they say in Parliament, don't worry about it. So let's break it down. Death, I'm going to go with, you want people to die. I'm going to go with that. Are you with me on this one?
I'm with you on that one. Yeah, so far so good.
Two is going to be a direction here. Well, who are you directing the death to? Oh, America. By America, now, keep in mind, you've got North America, you got Central America, you got South America. I mean, I guess there's a chance, Carrie, that they're talking about Guatemala in Central America, right?
But I don't think so.
The Mexican states of America, maybe they're talking about Mexico.
No.
What?
No.
What?
Mm-hmm. Us.
Now, you don't do the Twitter much unless somebody tells you how great you are. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see any of this Twitter crap? I mean, am I making this up, that there were people from America and from Canada and from Great Britain who were saying, hey, Rouhani, don't worry about it. He's just trying to divert attention from Russia.
I didn't hear that. I wasn't on a whole lot, but come
what
on.
What?
That's crazy.
I got up this morning, and I popped on the social media. I have like four or five different pages I open. Boom, when I get up. And there it was. Rouhani was, and I was like, was this guy stupid enough to say something threatening towards Donald Trump or towards the United States of America? And then I see that the president was very, I'm like, about time somebody's firm with these idiots over there. And I see all the, and because you can click on the trend if you're not familiar with Twitter. And Carrie isn't. She only clicks on it and says, you're great. You're beautiful.
Oh, that's not true.
You're such a chocolate voice. I don't know how you work with that stupid face, Pags.
Yeah, that's fine.
So
I'll retweet that.
That's actually your
all mom day, every
sent
day
me that one. But and you can click on the trend and it'll show you people. And usually for me, it'll show me verified people first. People that I may or may not have heard of, but they've got the little check mark. And then you go down and you'll see some people, you know, it could be a sports person, could be a TV person, could be a movie producer. But generally speaking, they were American and they seem to be taking sides with the dictator of Iran. How far have we slipped that we're allowing people so stupid or so anti-American to have a voice even in this community? Now, I realize that you've got your First Amendment and you shouldn't be arrested for saying, hey, I'm pulling for Iran. But at the same time, it truly is a treasonous act to do something to aid and abet a nation that's an enemy of ours. That truly is treason. These people are walking a very fine line. I mean, nothing the president did last week with Russia is even in the same zip code as treason. He met with the guy and he talked to the guy. That's it. But they tried to make the fact that he winked at Putin treason. Did you see that?
That he winked at him? That's treason.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a high crime and misdemeanor, according to John Brennan, who for some reason has this high level. All right, that's right. Hold on. I'm going to commit treason right now. Well, I guess you're welcome. Mm. You're welcome for those watching on television. You're welcome, ladies, and some of you men. You're welcome. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Angelo is in Washington. Angelo, what's going on? Hi.
How you doing, Joe?
Hey, living a dream, man. What's happening?
This deal with Trump, he's already talked tough. The next time they pull something really stupid, I think, you know, about 29 tomahawks in strategic locations would just be right.
Well, I think you're right, and I think that was basically a warning to Iran. I'm not Obama. Did you see what I did in Syria? We're not playing games here. You better stop it. Exactly. And I wonder if Iran is dumb enough to push him.
Of course they are. Of course they are. And they'll sit back and play the victim.
And there are a bunch of idiots in this country that'll support them, which is so stupid.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've got the communist left. They're not Democrats. They're not socialists. We just as well get right down to it and call them what they are, the communists. So
I got you, brother. No, Angelo, I agree with you. You've got a level of communism and even fascism in this country that was hiding under a rock for a long time because basically Obama was doing what they wanted. Basically. Especially when he started making the shift. He went away from the whole idea that marriage is between a man and a woman. Went away from the idea that a baker, you know, has religious rights. He went away from the idea that overregulating the people and overgoverning the people is a bad thing, and then he raised our taxes. I mean, he slowly but surely really fit into those at least very socialist, if not communist, shoes. We saw that unfold. We saw that happen during his 8 years. And again, you've got people now who are 19, 20, 21 years old who were 10 when he took office. and or 11. And now these people are adults. And their whole worldview is completely screwed up because of who we had for 8 years. And now we're seeing them put on masks and you know, pummel people at rallies and you know, march and close down highways so the families can't get to their kids and stuff. The whole thing is nuts, man. It's nuts. When you see, listen, in my America, there shouldn't be one American who says Rouhani is the good guy here. Not one. I don't care what your level of hate for Donald Trump is. There shouldn't be one person saying, Rouhani, he's just trying to divert attention. Don't worry about it. Not one. Who is it? Charles Rangel, who didn't like George W. Bush, defended George W. Bush when people were attacking him overseas. Oh, no, we can disagree with him here, but that's my president. It's like we forgot that. It's weird. Back at it, let me say hello to Tom, who's in Florida. Hi, Tom, what's up?
Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Yeah, I just want to say definitely agree with the tough talk. I mean, we've had this issue with Iran since the 80s. Over.
I think your phone got really bad. We had the issue with Iran, then we lost you.
Yes, and it's been the same thing going on since the 80s. It's like a broken record. And hopefully some tough talk will do something. And if that doesn't do it, I'm pretty sure Trump will do something for sure. Best president.
Well, Tom, I appreciate you, and your phone is a little bit sketchy, but you're right. I don't want the president to take any preemptive action against Iran. I'm not suggesting that. I'm not pushing for that. But keep in mind that for 8 years, Obama kept his leash, basically, on Israel. As Iran threatened, as Iran acted out, basically Obama said, bad, leave him alone. And then they made some sort of a ridiculous deal that turned out just to be backward. So for me, you need a president who says, we're done. We're done messing around. We're done taking your crap. You better knock it off. Better stop threatening us. And I think you also now have an Iran that realizes that the tether is off of Israel. And that's a good thing for the world because Israel will keep Iran in check better than just about anybody else in the region. John, I've got less than a minute. Make it happen quickly.
Hello?
Okay. We got 45 seconds. Make it happen. Come on.
Okay, Joe, first-time caller, love your show, ex-sailor.
Thank you.
When Obama was in there, our Navy was being harassed big time, like every other day. Since Trump got in there, I haven't heard much about that, but maybe he's told them that the warning shots, maybe those days are over.
Well, John, I think it's a great point, and I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you calling in. I have not, Carrie, have you heard anything since Trump has been in where...
I don't think the Iranian
Navy is boarding.
Yeah, I haven't heard any reports about that. I think they've kind of minded their own business. Now, I know when President Obama was in, it was up almost maybe three times a month, I think this was happening in that one report. So lately, I don't think anything's happened.
Very interesting point from John. We appreciate you, brother. All right, quick break here. When we come back, it'll be Sean Spicer, the former press secretary for Donald Trump, right here on the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
New details emerge, they make the FBI look bad, and they help Donald Trump. We'll tell you what they are coming up at 8 on The Michael Barry Show.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, all the social media there, also Newsmax TV, The Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. I'm really glad to have on the former press secretary for the Trump administration, Sean Spicer. Sean, how are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me on, Joe.
Yeah, I'm living the dream, man. It's really, really great to have you. Brand new book called The Briefing, Politics, the Press, and the President. It's going to come out tomorrow. Really glad to have you in advance of it. You can go ahead and pre-order it now, can't you?
Yes, yeah. It's available on Amazon.com right now. I think BarnesandNoble.com. And then obviously in bookstores everywhere tomorrow. But, beat the rush. Get out there and order it today.
well, please do that. It's going to sell by the millions. It's going to be a huge bestseller. You've got to be weary from doing all this press, and I appreciate you taking the time. A little background on me. I started doing cable news stuff because Tony Snow happened to be a couple of studios down from me, happened to be in town in San Antonio, and he was walking by, and I called him in. I said, Tony, I think I can do this TV stuff where you yell at somebody from the other side. Can you hook me up? And he did. He was really nice. And, of course, a couple of weeks later, he became the press secretary for George W. Bush. I kept in contact with him when he did that job, and the job was a little cantankerous, I guess, Sean, but nothing like we see now. When you walked into the job, did you sort of expect that you would be treated like the press secretaries for Obama and for George W. Bush before them? Because you walked into a firing squad, didn't you?
I did, and I think that the climate has definitely changed for a variety of reasons. Obviously, this is not this president came to shake things up, and yeah. there's no question he did it. But I talk a lot about this in the book, Joe, where it's like, here's how I thought, what I thought I was walking into, and how to, you know, how I prepared and what we were doing to structure it. And, you know, we weren't even in really by the end of the first day when we realized that this was not going to be, you know, your father's White House.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And I think that's a great point. It's Sean Spicer, former press secretary for President Donald Trump. The Briefing, Politics, the Press, and the President, the name of the book. Pre-order it now. Get five copies and get it out to your friends. I mean, when Tony did it, there would be some back and forth, a little bit of sarcasm. And a little bit of facetiousness, but it was all in good fun, and they were trying to do a job, and he was doing a job. When you walked in, you got battered. So what was the initial reaction? Did you think they were kidding, or were you like, oh, man, I'm in for a fight?
Well, there's a couple things. Obviously, you know, throughout it started, you know, during the campaign yeah. and through the transition. So it wasn't entirely unexpected, but, you know, there was this constant undermining of Trump and his campaign and his candidacy and then his victory. And I think that there had been a lot of, you know, cantankerous back and forth,
yeah.
you know, that occurred well before that first day. And then, like, and I write this in the book, that, like, let's just to be, you know, straight, I talk about that first day in the White House, and I don't think I did myself any favors the way it all started off. Not, right. not just by the press corps, but by the president himself. He wasn't pleased with that day, and I, you know, I've joked that I think save my mom and my wife, I'm not sure anybody was too psyched.
It's Sean Spicer. The name of the book is The Briefing, Politics, the Press, and the President. Of course, he was the press secretary for President Donald Trump. So you walk out there and you realize what the relationship is going to be. How did you change course? Because you're right, the first day you came out firing, they were firing, and then you did sort of, you know, back off a little bit and say, okay, let me do my job, and they can act the fool all they want. What was it? What was the process in you saying, let me go and prepare myself this way instead of the way that I thought I was gonna?
Well, you know, like I said, I think that what I sort of realized really quick, and I call one of the chapters, you know, literally baptism by fire,
yeah.
That it was going to be different. And so I started to adapt. I learned that the president, and this president in particular, was very, very particular about how he wanted things said and done.
Yeah.
And I learned that it was incumbent upon me to check in with him to make sure that I was communicating exactly what and how he wanted things expressed. So for me, I had, you know, talked to a lot of my predecessors about how they prepared, what they went out, who they sought guidance from, and I learned very quickly and very often that, you know, you don't go out there and talk about what the president says and believes if he hasn't told you on a variety of topics what right. his current feelings is. So despite all the other input that you may have gotten, you know, he wants to weigh off before his name is thrown around supporting or you know, not supporting
yeah.
a decision or a policy or what have you.
You are trending earlier today, and again, the name of the book is The Briefing, Politics, the Press, and the President. It's Sean Spicer, the first press secretary for this president, Donald Trump. You were trending because you dared stick to the fact that there was a huge inauguration crowd. Why is that the question that the left is still asking you? I don't understand. I mean, everybody who actually does these counts for a living realizes that the first picture was taken at a different time as it was compared to Obama. The transit people all added the numbers up. Why are they still asking you this?
Because I think that it's emblematic, and as I just mentioned, I mean, I think that, look, the reality is that would I love to have done that day over? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there was no one, as I mentioned, that was happy about that. And I think for the press, they want some vindication by having me say it. And like
yeah.
I said, I there's no question about it that I could have done a much, much better job
yeah.
of communicating what we want. But I've litigated this so many times, and to your point, you're right. They don't want to let it go because anything less than, you know, some kind of billboard that says that, you know, I screwed up won't ever suffice. And
yeah.
it's amazing
right.
because it is the same question over and over again. And each one of them wants to ask it so they can hear it. And I've said it. Look, I write extensively about this and so many other moments in the book, Joe, that I made a lot of mistakes, and there's a lot of things that I would hope to do over.
Yeah.
And I hope, you know, to some extent, there's some lessons learned in there where people can say, wow, I actually can apply, you know, the lesson that he talks about in this book to my life, my business, so that I don't make a similar mistake. And I learned a lot in the job, and I hope that I come out a stronger and better person and professional because of it.
Well, I respect you for writing the book, and I respect you for coming on and answering questions like these. The Briefing, Politics, the Press, and the President is the name of the book. Pre-order it today. It's out tomorrow. It's Sean Spicer, the first press secretary for this president, Donald Trump. At what point and how did you find out that Melissa McCarthy was going to impersonate you?
Well, it's actually, I lay it all out because that was one of those questions that everyone wanted to know, so I wrote that in one of the chapters, but briefly, you know, I my wife and I had gone to bed. I had gone to bed a little after her on a Saturday evening. That was sort of our time together.
Right.
We wake up and we're getting ready to take the kids to church in the morning. And she says, you know, I know you went to bed a little after me. Did you stay up late and watch Saturday Night Live? And I said, no, you know, we DVR'd it as one of many programs. And so I said, no, she goes, well, you're going to want to watch one of the segments. And I said, we got the kids and we're trying to get them ready and get off and we're running a little late. And I said, okay, well, when we get back, I'll do it. And I'm sitting in the middle of mass. And, you know, I get that little buzz vibration that goes off when you're getting a text or a tweet or whatever. And it's just the whole time I'm getting one after another after another. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be good. So I'm trying to be respectful in church. And wraps up and I look at my phone and it's just a series of that was funny. Wow. She nailed it. And I'm like, what the heck are we talking about? So we beelined it home. I stood in my kitchen and I'm like hitting going through everything that had been DVR'd and I'm trying to find it because it wasn't the cold open that first time. So I have to scroll through and find out. And then I'm just sitting there glued to what was going on, going, oh boy. And I got a chuckle out of it. I'll tell you. I mean, the first one was funny and frankly, she nailed it.
Yeah. Well, it's Sean Spicer. We're talking about when Melissa McCarthy was on Saturday Night Live and did the impersonation. It was funny. And your reaction was exactly what it had to be. I think they wanted to, and by they, I think the media as a whole, wanted you to react in a very different way. The way that you took it and the way that you laughed at it and the way you said, you know what? That makes sense. It's fair game. I think that served you well. I mean, did you see anybody take it?
I'm not sure in what way.
I think it served you well because you could have been a jerk about it is what I'm saying. And you weren't.
Thank you. Yeah, no, you're right. And I mean, look. She's a talented actor.
Yeah.
She played a role and she did it well. I stepped in it and, you know, it was funny and well deserved. And so I think at those moments, you got to be able to laugh at yourself, especially in a job like that. And so, you know, like I said, when they kicked it off, was funny. From time to time, I see clips and, get a kick out of it.
Well, I'm glad that you reacted the way that you did because, again, you could have gone the opposite way. And what you did, it really humanized you. And I think at least the general public said, okay, I get this guy now. Sean Spicer, the name of the book is The Briefing, Politics, the Press, and the President. Sean, are you from the media? Are you a former reporter, anchor, something like that? Where did you come from?
I came from a small town in Rhode Island. No, I was involved.
If you can, just give me your life story if you can, Sean. We got a few of it.
Or you can read the book.
Right, exactly right. I'm trying to get people to read the book, Sean. Give me a nugget.
So I got involved in politics and just sort of basically at the latter half of college. You moved down to Washington D.C. In the 90s after Republicans had taken control of Congress, and that kind of my only goal. I thought, hey, I'll stick around a couple of years. I really would love to work on Capitol Hill, and then I'll move back to Rhode Island. And I kind of kept going from there and, you know, then spent 6 years at the RNC and got involved. I, you know, obviously was there for the Romney campaign. And then we were going to, hey, let's stick around and do this one more time.
Right.
And, you know, lo and behold, this historic thing happens with Donald
Trump. Well, how do you meet Donald Trump? Because, I mean, he's not the historic, you know, general GOP guy that you think of. He was the outlier. How did you put your trailer on
that one? It's a great question. I've interacted with him a bunch of times and but primarily the first time we met him was that he was a donor and so we had gone up to New York City to, you know, ask for his continued support in rebuilding the party, and he was giving us his political, you know, commentary on what he saw the role of the RNC and the landscape to look like. And then, you know, he came and spoke at a donor event. Not only was he a donor, but he, you know, helped us raise money. And then obviously I was the point person for the debates, for the Republican debates at the RNC, got to deal with him more and more. And that role just increased after he became the nominee in Cleveland.
And he's really about loyalty. And if you're part of the team, he's going to look out for you and you're looking out for him. I mean, he really is that guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is that I don't think people fully appreciate it. And that's why one of the other things is I try to show the side of Trump that I don't think a lot of people get to see for a variety of reasons and talk about that. You know, he can be extremely empathetic and caring and thoughtful. And I don't, you know, that's something that either a lot of people don't want to see.
People don't believe it.
Right.
Yeah, and I saw it firsthand. You're absolutely right. It's called The Briefing, Politics, the Press, and the President. That's the name of Sean Spicer's brand new book. It's out tomorrow. You can pre-order it today. One last question. Are you still a supporter of the president and his agenda? And do you guys have a relationship?
Absolutely. And I've talked to him just a little while, not today. I talked to him a little while ago.
Yeah.
Stay in contact with him and the staff. And I think he's getting results for the American people. And I told him the day I left, and it's in my resignation letter, that I'm going to continue to go out there and fight for his policies and his agenda. And continue to support him. So I absolutely.
Well, brother, I hope that you sell a billion of these books. It's The Briefing, Politics, the Press, and the President. His name is Sean Spicer, the first press secretary for this president, Donald Trump. Sean, thanks a million.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it, and for all you do to spread the message.
We're back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
All right, great to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. Hopefully you enjoyed the conversation with Sean Spicer, the former press secretary for President Donald Trump. Carrie, good stuff, no?
It was very good, yeah. Didn't know a lot of stuff about
you
him
You now
before.
Know what he thought about the Melissa McCarthy thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize he was from Rhode Island. I had no idea. Now, again, it's folklore because I have not proven it yet, although I do know the John Wicks angle. I'm a direct descendant of John Wicks, who was one of the early pioneers in his country. He was one of the founders of, I guess he didn't found, he wasn't a founder of Rhode Island, but he was a very big deal there in Rhode Island. And he was my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather or something. My grandmother's maiden name was Wicks. And allegedly, I'm a descendant of Roger Williams, who founded Rhode Island, although I can't make the connection. I didn't go to Ancestry.com or anything, but that was the folklore that my grandmother told me growing up. So I didn't realize that we would have that connection. We talked for a bit after the interview, and we'll have him on more often. He's a good guy. I'm glad that he's speaking out. I'm glad that he's still a supporter of the president. I'm glad that he didn't, like, leave the administration, write some tell-all book, and try to make a bunch of quick money and just say anything that would be, you know, incendiary enough to get people to go and buy it. I think his story, standing on its own, is going to be interesting enough to read, right?
I think so, too. Yeah, definitely.
So how do you find out if you're really a descendant of Roger Williams? My grandmother said so. I don't
know.
Have a reason not to believe her, but I don't want to go all Elizabeth Warren on you. Like, no, they always told me I was Native American, you know, so... So the John Wicks angle, I can research because, I mean, the family line goes there. Also somehow related to the Dalton gang, because my great-grandmother's maiden name was Mary Dalton. So that's all on my mother's side. My father's side, we're just Italian. Boom. Bam. Italian. Have a nice day. Hmm. Plus, there's some Italian on my mom's side, too, so I'm more than half Italian. But, yeah, I mean, the connection there is kind of cool, although I've never been to Rhode Island. You ever been up there?
I have not. Love to go. Haven't been there.
I have no idea. Maybe I'll send you.
Sure.
And tonight, Carrie joins us from Rhode Island. I don't know why, but I'm going to send you to Rhode Island.
All right.
We'll even have an affiliate there. Although, you know, I'm sure that the Boston station probably gets in there. WRKO. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Super Beets is an all-around helpful, great superfood. You know, blood pressure is a really big deal. Obviously, you got to make sure that your blood pressure is in line. You've got to have good blood pressure, healthy blood pressure. One of the keys to heart health, right? And overall well-being. The good news is that consuming beets, a simple lifestyle change, can help support healthy blood pressure levels. And drinking Super Beets like I do every day is the best way to get the right amount to make a difference. 1 teaspoon of Super Beets. You're not going to believe this. The recommended daily serving is verified to provide the nitric oxide of 3 whole beets. It helps support the healthy blood pressure levels that you want. Only Super Beets is made from beets grown to exacting standards, then concentrated into superfood crystals. So if you want to have heart healthy energy, give your body what it needs and start drinking Super Beets today. Call 800-516-8389 or go to joelovesbeets.com. Get another 30-day supply with your first order and also get free shipping with your first order. You've got to call right now, though. 800-516-8389 or joelovesbeets.com. Make that happen. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to Barry, who's in Oregon. Hi, Barry. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Living a dream, man. What's happening?
Sean Spicer's a good man.
I think so.
It was a good interview, and I'm sure it's a good book. But I'm calling regarding Brennan, whose loss of a security clearance should be his least problem. He needs to be tried for sedition and treason as well. Last time,
what did he do that's treasonous?
He was a self-admitted Communist Party member.
Well, he definitely voted for a communist for president at one point. Yeah, he voted for a communist for president at one point. That's known.
Yeah, so why don't they just not worry about a security clearance and just try him for sedition?
I don't know that sedition really makes sense. I appreciate you. I mean, you can vote for a communist if you want. It's a free country. But if you're out there doing something to subvert our government, which, I mean, maybe you take a look at treason or sedition because he's on these talk shows and the things that he's saying about our president while still having the security clearance, while having been the CIA director, that's certainly questionable. I'd rather know what the hell he and Comey and McCabe and all these idiots were doing and Rosenstein. I want to know what they were all doing when it came to this FISA warrant and when it came to this, the surveilling of this guy Carter Page that was based on absolutely manufactured garbage. I mean, that's really, if you want to look at charges for people, and you start at Hillary Clinton, whose campaign funded this damn thing, that's where you start looking at treason and working against the United States of America. I mean, they all assumed that Hillary Clinton was going to win, that none of this would ever come out. This is why I always say he doth protest too much. This guy Brennan goes on Twitter and says all this crap because he's scared to death, I believe. Got to get out of here for this hour. We appreciate you, Newsmax. We're back tomorrow with the Joe Pags Show. We continue here on radio. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more right there. It's the Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Monday. That, of course, is a Motown Monday. Oh, yeah. That's Carrie Lockie right there. Carrie, what up?
Hey, how's it going?
You got a story on the Fiza stuff, right, coming up?
I do, yes.
All right, we will get to that. What's being revealed about the request for a Fiza warrant to surveil Carter Page, somehow connected to the Trump campaign, had a place in Trump Tower, so that basically gave him the ability to surveil Trump or anybody who was in there. And the whole thing is so sketchy. It's like they made something up. You know what I liken it to, Carrie? We'll get into the story in a minute here. What I liken it to is like when you hear about every once in a while, I guess this happened in Baltimore, where a cop will plant evidence and then say, oh, look what I found.
Mm-hmm.
I liken it to that. I mean, they planted a reason for why this guy should be surveilled. Of course, later, because they have no real legitimate reason for why they did it, they said, well, it was to protect the candidacy of President Trump. Although, for some reason, they didn't think it was important enough to put a mole or get a FISA surveillance warrant on somebody in the Hillary Clinton campaign. I guess they didn't care to protect her as much, even though it turns out most of them wanted her to win. But the whole thing, I mean, it smells of entrapment. Or of some sort of manufacturing or fabricating of evidence. And I mean, hell's got to be paid for that. I need somebody to pay for what happened there with the whole surveillance stuff, the FISA stuff, the renewing of FISA warrants by using evidence of somebody planting a story in Yahoo News or something. And then saying, oh, look, it's been corroborated by this news story, which was actually planted or somehow affected by the guy who wrote the fake dossier paid for by the DNC and Hillary Clinton. The whole thing just stinks to high heaven. And we really haven't gotten any resolution whatsoever about that. So we'll have that coming up. I appreciate you holding on in the meantime, though. Still have some phone calls holding from last hour about Iran, about the president making a statement to the leaders of Iran. Don't you ever do this. Karina found this. Did you see this that David Hogg wrote on Twitter?
I did read about that today.
Am I just misunderstanding?
I think so.
Am I not getting what the hell he's talking about?
I don't get it. I don't know where he's coming from with this.
I'm missing the point, and I want to understand. Listen, I'm not unsympathetic to anybody who's in that school that day. In fact, I'm sympathetic to them. Until you jump the shark, then I have to wonder what the hell you're talking about. So the president tells Iran, you better never ever threaten us again. We're going to come and get you. It's going to be hell like you've never seen or something. And David Hogg thought it made sense 7 hours ago, 5 hours ago, whatever it was, to write this to U.S. President Trump, : never ever threaten the United States again or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. We are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious. So he basically takes Trump's tweet and tweets it back to him saying, this is to you. Now, I'm a lot older than David Hogg. I'm a lot more experienced in life. I'm a hell of a lot smarter than he'll ever be. But I can't figure out what he means here. Can you?
No, I don't understand it.
I mean, when he tweeted it out, I mean, he's got 40,000 people liked it, so he's getting what he wants out of it. But what exactly did he gain by doing that other than pushing a guy like me that is sympathetic to anybody who's there that day? And I've said it many times. I'll put David Hogg on the air. Let's talk about it. What exactly is he accomplishing with a person who's on the fence other than to say, wow, what's wrong with this kid? You know what I mean? When you tweet something like that out, give some context. Tell me what you mean. And then, you know, I'm looking down here at some of these responses. People are talking about how the president colluded with Russia. And, I mean, I don't understand. Election fraud, something or other. I'm waiting for somebody to say, oh, that makes a lot of sense. I'm glad you did that, David. And you might be saying, well, why are you giving him publicity? Well, the guy's got like a million followers, and there are people who are influenced by what he writes. It doesn't make sense, though. When did the president threaten violence on the country? When did he say words of death on this country? And if I want to be a stickler, isn't he in trouble with the Secret Service? He's telling President Trump never to threaten the United States again, or you will suffer consequences the like of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. Is David Hogg threatening the president of the United States? And I don't say his name much on the air anymore because it's just a waste of time. He's not in this to fix anything. He's in this to get whatever sort of notoriety or publicity that he wants. And he's also hoping they can get young people like him to go vote Democrat. That's what this is about. This has never been about fixing anything. Andrew Pollack has done more today than David Hogg has done to try to fix the problem in schools. That's why I have Andrew Pollack on as much as I do. But this tweet just doesn't make sense. This is just a tweet to get more people to follow you, I guess, or to make people think that you somehow are a deep thinker, and he's not. Let me go to the phone line and say hi to Mike, who's in Hawaii. Mike, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, aloha. Just wanted to talk to you about this FBI agent that's been in Iran for, what, 10 or 15 years?
And I don't know about it, but I'll listen.
Well, you know, he's been in custody, if he's still alive. And I was just kind of concerned that when Obama did the $1 billion swap for these four or five Iranian Americans, that this gentleman wasn't part of the deal. So I don't know if you know about it, but I know that his family's been trying to get his release for many years now. He was a former FBI agent.
Well, I know that when Obama did the deal, he did not get hardly anything in return. He handed over $1.6 billion plus, unfroze, what, another $150 billion or something of their assets. And I do remember at the time that there was at least the one hostage that wasn't part of the deal. And we all said, well, what the hell are you doing? Why are you making a deal unless you get them back? But I've heard nothing since. What? So are you alluding to the fact that maybe President Trump is trying to line up to where we could try to get this guy back?
Well, hopefully. I mean, he was able to do some stuff with the Korean dictator. Yeah, he got three hostages out of Korea. So,
right.
You know, hopefully with his aggressiveness, you know, a lot of people don't like it, but sometimes you have to stand your ground. And,
when it comes to somebody like Iran, obviously you can't be Jimmy Carter. Obviously you can't be Barack Obama. They're laughing at those guys. And they didn't do an awful lot while George W. Bush was in office because they knew that he was the kind of guy who would come and just take over your country. He didn't care.
Yeah.
I got you. No, well, I'll look into that. I remember something about somebody who wasn't released, and I'm pretty sure when Obama was still in office, I was like, well, why aren't we getting everybody back? Why do they get to keep any of our hostages? And the answer never came, because Obama was really in this to make up for what he thought we did wrong when the Shah left Iran and when the Islamic takeover of Iran happened. He thought we handled that incorrectly, and he wanted to make good on that. sort of like going to Cairo, Egypt, one of the first things that he did to talk about how great Islam was and how it created all every good thing on earth. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that he didn't get them back. And I would not be surprised if this president were, in fact, trying to use this as a negotiating piece to get somebody back who's still over in Iran. This is kind of where he starts. He starts with fire and fury, then ends up having a meeting and getting a lot done. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
You got a smile so bright. You know you could have been a cabbage. I'm holding you so tight. You know you could have been a handle.
No, Smokey Robinson is not in studio. Stop it.
Nobody said that.
What? A lot of people were saying that because you don't know.
No,
you have no
I
idea who
know.
Said that and who didn't say that.
Yeah, I do.
Lop-a-doo-doo.
No.
Lop-a-doo-doo.
It's not anything like Smokey.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
All right, 1-800-383-96. What's that?
I say, why would Smokey Robinson be here?
It's Motown Monday. He heard. He heard about it.
Yeah, but that was the Temptations.
What?
That was the Temptations.
Oh, I guess it. The way you do the things you do. Oh, is that the Temptations?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, see, Smokey's here. Temptations aren't. Whatever. I didn't say it had to be him singing that song. What an assumption you made.
Yeah. Yeah, good job. Good job.
1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Yep. Once every 13 years, I screw up who's singing a song. All right. I posted the picture of me doing shoulders, Carrie.
Oh, you did? And
it's not a picture. It's a video. It's on Instagram, at Joe Talk Show, at Joe Talk Show. And I took your advice to let it go right to Facebook, too.
Mm.
There it is.
Okay.
Already, I had one guy hoping that I tear a rotator cuff.
Oh, that's terrible.
Which is nice.
Wow.
Had another guy saying that I'm not doing it right.
Mm.
Another guy saying at least I'm not trying to show off with a lot of weight or something. I didn't ask for any of that. I guess if you post something, the assumption is that you'll take the abuse that everybody wants to give you.
Yeah.
I guess that's
how
it works.
How it goes, huh?
So, I mean, I'm kind of okay with it, to be honest with you. The one guy says people our age can't do isolating exercises like that because it doesn't work. Now, I know I'm too full of myself. I get it. I know I've got a big ego. I'm not arguing that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, wouldn't the results be a pretty good argument against what he's saying?
I would say yes.
I mean, I keep doing
I'm
this.
Trying to give you
I
a
feel
little
like
joke.
I'm in okay shape.
Trying to rib ya.
No, this guy's being serious. Oh. He said you have to do more compound exercises. You can't do the isolating. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Hmm.
Have you ever had someone give you a hard time?
You have
online. You've had it.
Yeah.
And I've defended you.
Yes.
Have you ever clicked on their face just to go see who they are?
I have done that several times.
Doesn't it make you feel better about yourself once you see them?
It does. It really does.
Because
and that's even if they even have a picture. Usually it's some faceless, silhouette or a picture of their dog or something, but...
I'm just going to put this out there. Those who are giving exercise advice, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Probably should give less advice and do more exercising. I'm here to help. I'm here to help. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Do me a favor, give us that story about the FISA warrant, this and what actually might have happened with this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. This is from CNN. Now, you're talking about when they released the redacted version of it, right? This is the story I have.
Yes, because now we have the ability now to see what it was they were saying in order to get the warrant, right?
Right. The FBI on Saturday released a redacted version of its previously classified foreign surveillance warrant application on Trump campaign foreign policy advisor Carter Page, which has been the subject of a heated partisan debate over the FBI's tactics investigating members of the Trump campaign. The FBI released the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrant application after news organizations and advocacy groups like Judicial Watch sued for its disclosure. The warrant, which was approved for Page in 2016, allowed the FBI to conduct surveillance on Page. It's been one of the key moves that Republicans Republicans have charged as evidence of a pattern of abuse by the Justice Department and the FBI targeting the Trump campaign. The release itself is significant as it marks the first public disclosure of a highly sensitive FISA request. Information included in the request have been largely reported through two declassified memos released separately by Republicans and Democrats in the House Intelligence Committee. But Saturday's disclosure puts the FBI's own argument in black and white for the first time. The more than 400-page document released Saturday, which includes the initial October 2016 FISA warrant on page and three subsequent renewals, is heavily redacted. It states the FBI believes Page has been the subject of targeted recruitment by the Russian government. The FBI believes that Page has been collaborating and conspiring with the Russian government, the application states, adding there is probable cause that such activities involve or are about to involve violations of the criminal statutes of the United States. And the application says that a significant purpose of the request is to collect foreign intelligence information as part of the FBI's investigation of this target. It does have some information about Page's activities, which included a July 2016 trip to Russia, in which Page was accused in the opposition research dossier of having met with a top Russian energy official, something Page denies. Speaking to CNN's Jake Tapper on State of the Union Sunday, Page called the accusations against him so ridiculous. You talk about misleading the courts, it's just so misleading, Page said. The application notes Page sent a letter to then-FBI Director James Comey to deny the accusation 2 days after a news story came out stating that Page was under investigation. Signatures from top FBI and Justice Department officials, including Comey and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, appear on each of the four applications. Page has denied he ever cut any political deals with the Kremlin. The FISA warrant that was issued and renewed multiple times for Page was the subject of the memo written by House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes that charged the FBI abused its surveillance powers. Conservative critics of Special Counsel Robert Mueller have argued the FISA warrant is tainted based on the opposition research dossier on Trump and Russia that was paid for by Democrats, and that because the FISA warrant helped launch the FBI investigation into Trump and Russia, the whole investigation is tainted. And Democrats, however, say the FISA warrant on Page was justified because of his contacts with Russia, and they argue the FBI and Justice Department followed proper procedure in seeking and getting the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court to approve the warrant.
Yep, caught red-handed. The way this whole thing came about, Harry Reid's fingerprints are all over it. John McCain's fingerprints are all over it. The fact that we now know, and nobody even disputes, that the DNC and Hillary Clinton's campaign financed this fake document, this opposition research. They call it oppo research in the business. It's all coming out. I found any of this out if Hillary Clinton would have won. This would have gone away. And we already know that they re-upped the warrant by using some Yahoo News story that was planted by the guy or in conjunction with the guy that created this dossier. The whole thing is just messed up, man. It is completely unconstitutional. It circumvents any logic and reason. And heads should roll. You know, instead of continuing to investigate collusion that doesn't exist, because Mueller would have found some collusion by now. There just isn't any. Why not take that same special counsel and say, let's really look closely into what this whole FISA warrant thing was about, how the FISA court was misused, how the deep state, the Democrats, the DNC, Hillary Clinton, whatever, Obama leftovers, or Obama was still there, so Obama himself, how they tried to deal and ensure that Hillary Clinton would win. They were pulling out all the stops from not prosecuting her on clearly breaking the law, clearly breaking federal law, to getting warrants to surveil somebody they knew would be in Trump Tower, so they basically had more access to Trump Tower than they deserved, and getting the warrant to surveil him through means of a dossier or a bunch of papers or a report that they knew could not be verified and wasn't verified. They did that stuff. And they almost got away with it. But instead of this just being released, what now is going to happen? What's the next step? What heads will roll? Why are we still talking about, you still see the left talking about Donald Trump Jr., Russian lawyer, that he thought was about adopting children in Russia. Or he actually thought it was about opposition research turned out not to be. They keep talking about that, but nobody's talking about this. I mean, we are now. But when will somebody be brought up on charges using the FISA court? When will they be brought up on charges for lying? I mean, basically perjury, right? They knew that they were presenting something that wasn't verified. Keep it here. When we come back, it's going to be Doug Adler.
This is the joke.
Take a look.
New details emerge. They make the FBI look bad, and they help Donald Trump. We'll tell you what they are coming up at 8 on The Michael Berry Show.
Great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, all the social media there, plus Newsmax TV, the Joe Pags Show on your radio, on your TV. Really glad to have back a good friend of mine, Doug Gadler. He's the managing director over at Raymond James & Associates. Doug, you're managing people's portfolios nationwide, and you and I... By the way, let me make you feel old for a second. Are you ready?
Yes.
Do you remember my daughter who was born when I was on television in Lansing?
I do.
Gabby, just a brand new baby girl.
Wow, congratulations.
No, that was then. You remember that, right?
Oh, you're saying she was
a... No, she does not have a baby girl. No, no. Oh. She was a baby girl when I was a TV news anchor there, yes?
Yes.
Turned 18 today, Doug Adler.
Wow, time does fly.
Dude, what is that?
I don't know. We are getting older.
Well, you are. I mean, I don't know how I'm holding it steady like I am, but that's stunning. Too. Do you remember we put her on television that first day? And I think she called you Uncle Doug, even though she never met you. I'm pretty sure. All right, let's get down to business. I just wanted to throw that out there because you, I still see you as this young guy that used to come to the studio and we used to do stuff in Lansing, and I still feel like a young guy, but we've grown 18 years since then, if you can believe it. The economy. You know, you hear about Russia, you hear about Iran now today, you hear about, you know, the Democrats trying to do this and trying to do that, and everybody's up in arms. The economy's cranking right along, man. There are fewer jobs available, or actually there are fewer people available to take jobs because there aren't enough jobs for that. Whatever the hell it is, you've got an unemployment rate that is historically low for every part of the community, every demographic. You've got a GDP allegedly going to be 4. I mean, are things as good economically as we think they are?
Pretty much, yeah. And in fact, when you mentioned employment, Joe, this is something that I didn't really see anyone talk about, but this is really significant, I think. So early July, we received the June, because it happens, you know, with a month lag.
Right.
I think it was 189,000 jobs. Unemployment rate ticked up from 0.38 to 4%. Still very, very low. But the encouraging thing about the uptick is we brought in, and I should maybe use the word enticed.
Yeah.
The economy enticed 601,000 people to say, hey, put me in the labor force. I'm looking for a job. So I think we are starting to see now as the economy over the last year has annualized at over 3% GDP, gross domestic product.
Yeah.
The jobs are becoming more plentiful. Wages are going up. And people start making economic decisions, and you're getting 600,000 new folks saying, I want to get in.
And we were talking about a workforce participation number that was historically low. Obama's number was just about what it was under Jimmy Carter. It hadn't been that bad since the late 1970s. Suddenly, as you say, people are going back to work, and the unemployment rate isn't going up, which should happen if you get those people counted again. Now, I keep on getting the numbers wrong, but I want to make sure I get this right. There are more jobs available than people available to fill them, or is it fewer people available to fill more? I keep on getting that backward, but it's something that hasn't happened in history. In other words, there just aren't enough people to fill the jobs that are available, and that's, I think, a good thing. That's why these people are coming off of the I'm not looking anymore roles, right?
That's right. So you hit it on the head. There's more jobs than there are people to fill the jobs. And the exciting thing about that, and you've talked about it, and it's been mainstream media for decades now, about the stagnant wage base.
Yeah.
Well, there's really only one way to get the wage base up. I mean, there's more than one way, but a simple way is to have more demand for labor than there is labor available.
Yeah.
And you start to get bidding wars at the employer level. I mean, I talk to clients every day, business owners, and this could be anything from plumbing and heating businesses to the auto sales to home construction. You go down the list. And they just cannot, they have jobs posted, Joe, and they just can't fill them. And as they raise wages, they're still not getting anybody to the door.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing. And you're right. The wages are going up. We used to hear this thing about the illegal immigrants are doing jobs that Americans won't do. And my retort to that was always, and I think you agreed, no, they're actually doing jobs that Americans won't take that rate of pay to do. So if you want me to go and pick, you know, the fields, I'll do it. You got to give me $25 an hour. I mean, somebody who's here illegally, you could probably pay them under the table a whole lot less than that. So you're right. If you want wages to go up, you have to have fewer people available. So now you've got to go and you've got to entice them to come and work for you. And you've got to get that 92, 94 million people that were out of the workforce, as you say, getting back into the workforce. Is that how long it takes? And by the way, it's Doug Adler, Managing Director, Senior Vice President of Investments at Raymond James. Is that what it takes, about a year, for people to believe that it's real?
That's what the data shows, yeah. You can apply this even to the tax cuts. So let's say there's about a 9 to 12-month lag. I think the technical number, Joe, is 9 months, but let's just use 9 months to a year.
Sure.
After something happens, so this could be jobs available, this could be, in this case, the example I'm giving is the tax cuts, and I'm tying this into what you were driving at with the economy.
Right.
So mentally, even though folks have seen a bump in their paycheck, the neuroscience says that we don't really believe that until 9 to 12 months later. So you can see, potentially, if that holds true, you could see an uptick in confidence, and there's a lot of consumer confidence right now, but it could magnify itself as we get into the holiday season.
And again, things are going nuts, but then you hear people running for election. I'm not asking you which side you're going to pick. Let me just throw out a hypothetical. Let's say one side wins that seems to think they're going to have a blue wave. They're actually running for election saying, we're going to raise your taxes. We're going to increase regulation. Doug, they're really saying that. What effect might that have on the economy, on the stock market?
I don't think it'll have much unless that actually happens, if the wave does happen.
What I'm saying is, what if it happens? I'm with you that I don't think it's going to happen, but let's say it does, and they're actually running for election saying, don't worry, that bonus you got, we're going to take it back. We're going to take back any tax cuts that you got. That higher paycheck is going to go down again. I mean, that would be the antithesis of what we want when the economy's booming, no?
Yeah, I think that's right. Look at the growth in consumer confidence in December of 16, so yeah. Literally the month after the election, all the consternation about now President Trump, candidate Trump at that time. But you saw it immediately, Joe, in consumer surveys, business surveys, confidence went vertical, and it continued that way in 17. And that's, I think, the reason you're seeing such strong GDP numbers, because a lot of the building blocks for economic growth were in place, meaning debt service ratios, which is just simply money that comes in the front door through a paycheck, and then you go back out for your mortgage, car payment, what have you. That ratio is way down, and household net worth in the United States is an all-time high. Well, you could have said the same thing 3 years ago, but people just didn't subscribe to the economic program. And that's not a political statement. Just all you have to do is look at the surveys. It shows that. So if you start to unwind that, yeah, I think that could throw, if that happens, you could throw a little chaos into the economy and into the stock market. I don't think there's probably any doubt of that.
It's Doug Adler, Managing Director over at Raymond James. He's helping people out financially across the nation. We've been friends now for upwards of 20 years, if you can believe it. The bottom line is the economy is going great. But you have to have a diversion away from the great economy. So we're hearing about Russia. We're hearing about Iran. A poll just came out. You watch these polls like I do, that said that the number one, by far, Doug, the number one issue for voters in America is the economy. That's not a surprise. I mean, immigration is next, or then illegal immigration, way before Russia. Russia is about the most important thing for about 1% of those who were polled. That's how nothing that is. Do you think that because we watch the 24-hour news cycle, that people like you and I maybe are different than the average American, and they're not paying any attention to this other stuff? They are all diversions, and they really are focusing on their future, their 401k, their retirement, their stocks. Is that what you're finding as you talk to people?
100%.
Does anybody walk in and say, Douglas, talk about Russia?
I mean, I don't hear Russia. I do hear the tariffs from clients,
right.
Understandably so. But, you know, I kind of think, and this is a guess, but it seems to me that may just go the way with a lot of things this president does, which he seems to drive the stake out farther, meaning his demands are bigger than most people think are practical.
Right.
And he drives it pretty deep, but then the negotiation starts, and he starts to kind of bring that in a little bit. And if you look at it, a lot of the positions, the trade tariffs, the positions meaning the tariffs on our goods going into foreign countries versus what we charge, much less,
right,
most of the time on what we're importing, it's really pretty hard to defend. So I'm actually glad to see the president going after that, and I think in the end, that probably will work out. It won't be what we want, but it will be better than it was.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's unfair now. And China, if they're not calling them tariffs, they're calling them taxes. If they're not calling them taxes, they're calling them fees. There are huge fees, taxes, and tariffs on all sorts of goods. I went to China to adopt her daughter, Gia, and there aren't any American cars over there because it's way too expensive to make it happen. In fact, the American manufacturers are making some parts there because it's the only way to, I guess, subvert those taxes and tariffs by employing some Chinese. So the fact that he wants to fight back is something that should have probably happened a long time ago, whether it be Canada or Mexico or not as friendly countries like China. Should we be that worried? I mean, if this thing drags out, then do we worry about its effect on the economy? Because like you said, I think he goes for the home run and then he takes a single in the end.
Yeah. So let's say he says home run or nothing, right? Home run or strikeout.
Right.
Yeah, if he plays hardball to that degree, then that's probably going to be problematic. But you mentioned the tariffs with automobiles. I think we charge 2.5% on the Chinese import. They charge us 25%.
Imagine that. I mean, think about that. Or how about the famous one that we talk about now with Canada? Dairy products from where you and I met, Michigan. Dairy products from Michigan going into Canada get a 270% markup. 270% tariff. Think about that. And that's our friend.
I know. It is so funny to me when I watch the mainstream media, I'll call it,
yeah,
come out the next day and, you know, go rail against the president. And then I saw after the G7 summit, this is, you know, where they were talking about dairy amongst other things,
right,
here, what, back in early June, I think. And the big national paper there came out and said the headline, you know, guess what? President Trump was telling the truth. We do charge 300%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had no idea. You do, financial for a living. We didn't know. So, I mean, at the end of it, what he's doing is he's peeling back the onion. And he's saying, here's how unfair it is. Here is how baseless these taxes and tariffs are. We have to do something to correct that. And then, like Harley Davidson says, well, screw it. We're going to leave the country. It just, to me, let's just take a breath and calm down. So, the last question, because we're off on a tangent. I brought you there, and I appreciate you following me. Last question. People listening right now, people watching right now, is now a good time to jump in? When you and I speak, I mean, it's almost always a good time, as long as you're picking something that's not crazy, not too much risk. Is it always a good time in your mind to jump into the stock market or to take a look at and reorganize your 401k or your pension?
Well, I wouldn't say it's always a good time, Joe, but I would say in general, most of the time it is a good time, and that's just simple. A conclusion, though, the economy expands more than it contracts, right? We're in a growth period more than we're in recessions.
Right.
Thank goodness for that. So on balance, it's pretty easy, right? Companies will tend to make more money when the economy's growing, and they'll tend to make less when it's contracting.
Yeah.
So right now, and I think this is the thing, so there's a lot of noise, geopolitical, tariffs, you name it, right? Midterm elections coming, et cetera. But the bottom line as we sit today is if you look at earnings growth, let's say for the S&P 500, this year is probably going to be calendar year 18 in excess of 20%.
Wow.
Wow is right.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. So it's really hard. Now, anything can happen, of course, but to me it just seems very hard for the stock market to get in real trouble if the earnings numbers are going higher, not lower.
Yeah, Doug, I got you. I always appreciate the input. Look, let's do this more often. Stop being a stranger.
Joe, once you left town, you became so big, it's just hard to get an opportunity to speak with you.
That's what it is. It's Doug Adler, Managing Director and Senior Vice President of Investments at Raymond James. Doug, we appreciate you. Back after this on the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Free.
I listen to radio for info in the morning.
Most in the morning.
Every morning for weather.
Kickstart your day.
I turn on even before I get up out of bed.
With the news and info you can use. News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Hey, great to have you. It's a Motown Monday edition, the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Time for a few quick hits, maybe a call or two at 1-800-383-9624. We've got some pop culture coming your way as well. Now, before I tell you about Superbeats, Superbeats going to bring you energy. Going to get your blood pressure in line. It'll help anyway. Good, healthy blood pressure is a great indicator to healthy heart. That's right. Heart health is so important. I'm out there working out. I need energy, need stamina, I need all that. Good news is you can help yourself by consuming beets. Now, I don't like beets. I've said this a million times. People are like, what do you mean you don't like beets? Why are you doing super beets? Because it doesn't taste like beets. Plus, they've got like a wild cherry flavor that will blow your mind. So to me, it makes sense. 1 teaspoon of super beets, a recommended daily serving, is verified to provide the nitric oxide equivalent of 3 whole beets, which helps support healthy blood pressure. You got to get some super beets. Made from beets grown to exacting standards, that then concentrated into these superfood crystals. So if you want to have a healthy heart, have heart healthy energy, give your body what it needs and start drinking super beets right now. 800-516-8389 or joelovesbeets.com. You get a free 30-day supply with your first order, plus indicator strips to show how it's working for you, free shipping too. 800-516-8389 or joelovesbeets.com. Do it right now. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to Marie, who's been very patient. Hi, Marie. What's going on?
Hello, Joe. Hey, Carrie.
Hey.
She's still there. Carrie?
She is.
Oh,
yeah, she said hi. Yeah.
You're gorgeous. Because you never
thank you.
Told you're gorgeous. And I just want to say you're gorgeous. And I'm a Carrie Griffin.
Carrie, did you hear what she said? I don't know if you heard what she said. Something about me being gorgeous.
Yeah, I got the gorgeous part. Yeah.
Thank you, Marie. Why?
I would say Rickroll her only because she said hi to me. So
can't Rickroll her.
Wait on that.
Because what she says so far makes a lot of sense.
Of course, you'd say that.
But she's gorgeous too.
Oh well.
Oh
thank
wow!
You.
Here we
thank
go.
You.
Great.
That's very nice.
We got about a minute. Marie, make it happen. Come on.
But you know what you did, Joe? What was nice to her? She was a little thing, tiny thing in the background when you first started.
Right.
And you brought her up. That's fine. So I want you, Carrie, to appreciate that.
She deserves it. Now, unfortunately, we only have 40 seconds left. What's on your mind?
You know what? I waited an hour for this, 40 seconds.
I can't tell the network to let me keep going. They're going to kick me off soon.
Okay. I need 40 seconds to say this. President Trump deserves a lot of credit for running, because I didn't believe he would ever run, and I didn't believe he would be this great. Amazing man.
100%. 100%. I got to tell you, you held for an hour to boost my ego, and I want to say thank you.
You're welcome. And Carrie, you too.
Thank you.
I love you, Marie. See, Marie held for an hour.
It was very,
to tell
very
us how
sweet.
Great we are.
That's awesome.
That makes up for all the horrible tweets and all the horrible emails I'll get tonight.
Okay.
Let's do some pop culture. Up. Dirty pop. All right, Polo, what's going on?
Okay, so I'm going to bring up The View, so don't get mad at me.
Okay. All right.
All right, so I guess there's rumors floating around that this woman, Abby Huntsman, she's a co-host on Fox and Friends Weekend.
Yeah, I'm familiar with her.
Okay, so there's rumors that they may have her join The View to replace Sarah Hines, who's going to be leaving.
I don't even know who Sarah Hines is, I'll be honest with you. Carrie, you know who that is?
Yeah, she's the younger blonde. I think she's going to do a third hour with Good Morning America and Michael Strahan.
Right.
That's why she's leaving, yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I would not know. Well, there you go. They're trying to get, I guess, another conservative in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
For the entire crew, we got to run. We got to get out of here. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
This is the Joe Pags Show.